Okay, I want to take you back a couple of years to a documentary we made here on Mooney Goes Wild about the puffin.
Oh, yes. It's wonderful.
What you're listening to is the call of an Atlantic puffin, standing guard outside its burrow on the tiny island of Hurniken in the remote Rust Archipelago of Arctic Norway.
Where I'm sitting now, I can see puffins sitting on the water just outside of the island. They're just rafting for a minute. There are some in the sky that are flying to the colony with fish in their beak for their chick. And then there are some standing just on land outside of the burrows having fed their chicks. So they are really everywhere around me.
Oh, isn't that the beauty of radio? It gets you right up close and personal without distraction to wildlife, in this case, the Atlantic puffin. Well, good news. Puffins have been recorded breeding on the Isle of Muck off the Antrim coast. The first time in over 25 years, Niall Hatch.
Yes, because puffins are one of my favourite birds, as we found out in that documentary. And I think they'd be a favourite of a lot of people across Ireland and indeed the world. They're a real jewel in the crown of Ireland's bird life. And they have been badly hit, not just in Ireland, but in fact all over the North Atlantic, which is the only place that the Atlantic puffin occurs. And so any kind of win or success for them is warmly welcomed. And we heard in that documentary that you and I did, Derek, that populations in places like Iceland and in Norway have been collapsing. So the adults might be surviving relatively well, but they're not producing enough chicks to sustain the population. So anything that involves a new or a reclaimed breeding area, so there's more chance of these birds producing chicks in more favourable conditions, that's really to be welcomed. And it really comes down to one thing. It was the eradication of the non-native brown rat from the island. And this is something that's been working quite well in Northern Ireland. And I think, you know, that lessons can be learned from that elsewhere in this island too, because we've seen similar things happening on Rathlin Island, which is very famous for its seabirds off the Antrim coast. There. That's been very successful in restoring a lot of the bird life there. So on the Isle of Muck now as well. Well, fingers crossed that will remain the case. It will remain rat-free, and that means that it's much easier for the puffins to raise those young, whether the eggs or chicks being
Have you ever been on the Isle of Muck?
I haven't been on the Isle of Muck itself. No. But I was aware that puffins used to occur there until about 25 years ago. And it's one of those colonies that sadly was lost. And because we do periodically these censuses through Birdwatch Ireland and all, and obviously in Northern Ireland it's through groups like RSPB and the BTO and groups like that. That's the British Trust for Ornithology. They do surveys, and we've seen actually that the populations from some of those islands have been lost over the course of these survey periods between bird atlases and so on. So it is really encouraging to see them coming back, and because the tools are now being put in place, we've learned what works. This can be rolled out elsewhere. So rat eradication from these offshore islands is absolutely vital.
Let's bring in Eric Dempsey now, who joins us from, as I understand it, an Airbnb in County Meath. Eric.
I am. I'm sitting in a nice little Airbnb, a little lodge here. I am in County Westmeath. I've been doing some survey work in the Midland Bogs. I've been watching some wonderful flocks of red wings and fieldfares coming in. It's a real sign that the winter is arriving, and flocks of red poles. So, yes, I'm listening to with fascination to the whole sort of rediscovery of puffins back on the Isle of Muck, which is a wonderful development. You know, puffins not just are sort of suffering from things like rats, but, you know, the warming of our waters, our coastal waters, may also be having an impact on their breeding success, because basically the puffins require sprat and sand eels and things to feed on, which require cold water. And as our temperatures around our coasts, and as you I'm sure you remember, guys, there was a sort of a warming of the Atlantic off Ireland a few years ago, and it resulted in very few successful rearing of puffin chicks, or pufflings, I think they're called. Basically, these sprat and sand eels need cool water in which to breed. And if the water continues to get warmer, these fish move further north. And without that food source, the chicks really have no food. It's as simple as that. So any development, particularly a little bit further north, like on the Isle of Muck, any sort of new colonization or recolonization of these islands is something to be very, very welcomed, no question.
Yeah, that's it exactly, Eric. And people might be listening to us and wondering, well, why would warm water affect the fish so much and therefore the puffins? The colder the water is, the more oxygen it retains. And plankton likes oxygen-rich water, so it wants the temperature to be below a certain level. And if it goes beyond a certain threshold in terms of temperature, that plankton just gradually moves further to the north, more towards the Arctic waters. The small fish that rely on that plankton then follow it. And therefore, in order to feed, the puffins will have to follow that plankton as well. The adults may survive because they can go out to sea. They can spend their whole lives out there without coming to land if they need to. But it does take them out of range of their nesting colonies, which are fixed there on land. They nest in burrows, on sea cliffs and sea stacks and in coastal areas. And if it gets to a point where the plankton, and therefore the small fish, are more than a certain distance away from the colony, then it's no longer viable for those adults to bring back the small fish, like the sprats and the sand eels, back to their chicks. And therefore the chicks starve, or the adults don't even bother breeding in the first place.
And we all see these fantastic pictures of puffins bringing, you know, the fish back in their beaks, while other seabirds are at an advantage, like gannets. They can go off out to sea and they feed and they sort of basically keep the fish in a crop and regurgitate the food when they come back. But puffins don't do that. Puffins actually bring fresh fish back. So gannets can go off a long way and come back, but puffins and other auks like that don't have that capability. So they are under a lot of pressure. So this is a wonderful development, and let's, fingers crossed, the brown rat eradication on the Isle of Muck is just the start of a new colony up there, which would be just a wonderful development from an Irish point of view and from a puffin point of view.
I'm sure, Eric, like myself, you can think of lots of examples of places in Ireland where this, in the rest of Ireland, that is, that this could be rolled out, because there are so many offshore islands that unfortunately are overrun now with rats. We're also seeing a big problem with American mink, another non-native species that can be extremely detrimental to birds that nest on the ground or in burrows, where normally they would have been very safe. Imagine being in a burrow on a remote offshore island. You think you'd be very safe. Nothing can get in there except these non-native things like rats and mink that can swim out there. And I think that's often misunderstood or not fully appreciated. Rats are very, very good swimmers. And so what happens is, it's not enough often just to eradicate them once from an island. You then have to keep going to make sure they don't come back, because all it takes is two rats or one pregnant rat to get out there. And within a year, you have the problem back again in full force.
Yes, Niall, it's something that needs to be done constantly. It needs to be monitored all the time. You know, to eradicate a rat population, as you say, all it takes is two, three rats to get out there, and it's back again. I think even the Salty Islands, they've done a rat eradication program out there, and it's been very successful. But it is monitored constantly. So all of these small little islets, if we can remove the rats and, of course, the mink from these islands, It needs to be done not just once and walk away and say, that's great, we've the job done. It needs to be done almost on an annual basis, because, as you say, Noel, rats are very good swimmers. And, of course, mink are very good swimmers. I believe a few years ago, mink got out onto the Blasket Islands and they caused mayhem out there. So it's something that needs to be monitored all the time, especially on with species that are, you know, invasive species. They're non-Irish, non-native, things like brown rats and mink. They really do need to be monitored, and these islands need to be monitored constantly.
Another species, unfortunately, that can cause havoc on offshore islands and seabird breeding colonies is Homo sapiens, human beings. And that's becoming a growing problem in many parts of Ireland. I note with great interest that the Ulster Wildlife, who are the people who've done this wonderful work on the Isle of Muck, are urging human beings to stay away from the island as well, to give the puffins and the other breeding seabirds a chance to recover. We're in a situation now where 23 out of Ireland's 24 breeding seabird species are considered at risk of extinction. They're doing very poorly. So everything we can do to benefit them is really needed. You mentioned the Salty Islands there. You see it other places like Ireland's Eye off Howth, for example, as well. I'm sure you've seen it too, Eric. People getting far too close to the seabirds in order to get that perfect photograph of a puffin and maybe not realising or not caring, perhaps, that they're causing disruption. They're preventing those puffins from getting back into their burrows. They're causing them stress and panic that raises their stress hormones and adrenaline. It can make them abandon their nests in very extreme cases. It's very important that they're able to get back in there without being detained or disturbed, so they can feed their chicks quickly, get out, get more food and get as much protein into that chick as they possibly can.
I have unfortunately seen that too many times on places like the Salty Islands. It's so tempting to get close and get fantastic photographs where the puffins and other birds are right in front of you and you're just getting these beautiful photographs. But we really do need to stay back. I've noticed on the Salty Islands, for example. And people are probably unaware, but if you see photographers walking along or people, you know, taking photographs, even with their phone, the gulls tend to follow these people in the hope that by getting too close, you might flush a guillemot off the cliff. And within seconds, a gull has taken an egg or a chick. I've seen this so many times. I've often felt on occasions that there needs to be controls, you know, barriers, there needs to be roping, there needs to be some control to keep people away from, you know, getting too close to some of these seabirds, because they can be very easily disturbed. And I've seen it on Wicklow Head, where a fishing boat, I was doing some survey work on Wicklow Head last year, and a small little boat came in, you know, too close, everything flushed off, and within a half second, a hooded crow was down grabbing an egg out of a kittiwake nest. So they seem like small little things, but when they're all combined, that's the reason why many of our seabirds are under a lot of pressure at the moment.